Once again, we take this time in the middle of our worship time to just be still in our own space, to be fully present with our God, to put aside all of our thoughts and anxieties of the past week and any concerns we have for the week ahead. We put those aside and we enter into His holy, peaceful presence. For He is our Father, and He longs to hear from His children. So let us pray. Father God, again we give You thanks and praise for this time together in worship. We know You are present among us by Your Holy Spirit. We know, we feel Your presence with us. Lord, we pray that our worship, our songs, and our prayers, and our words today are honoring to You. And we pray that You will be blessed as we are blessed to be in Your presence. So, Father, now we ask You to hear the prayers of our hearts. Father, we have a number of people in our congregation who have been sick, Lord, and we just lift them up to You. Lord, we pray for Iris and the healing of her knee and her pain. Lord, we ask You to bring relief to her pain, that she can come again and be among us in worship. And we pray for Verna. Lord, we ask for healing for her arm, from her fall, from her bruises. Lord, and we pray that You will restore her to health. Lord, and we just pray for Your peace to be on her, for her anxiety and her stress that she feels. Lord, we pray for our dear sister Janice Bondi. Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for successful surgery. And Lord, we pray for a restoration to health. Lord, we do give You thanks, for in the past, Lord, when we have prayed for healing, You have answered that prayer and given us healing within our community, within our congregation. And Lord, we know You are a loving Father and You pray healing on all situations, not just health situations, but relationships and inner stress that people have. So now if there's anyone on your mind this morning, even yourself, some situation, some issue that just won't go away, bring that now as a little child to your Heavenly Father and ask Him to receive that burden from you and take care of it and leave it with Him to bring the healing. Father God, thank You for hearing our prayers, our individual prayers. Father, I pray now for every mother and father here today, every grandparent here today. Lord, we know the struggles of raising children. We know of the difficult times at home, we know of the financial challenges, health issues, behavioral issues. And so, Lord, I pray a special blessing and anointing on every father and every mother here with their children. Lord, we pray for peace in their homes. Lord, we pray for gentle words to be exchanged, gentle words of correction. A gentle word turns away wrath, Scripture tells us. And the gentle way is the better way. Lord, I pray for all the children here. Children, are you listening? This is a prayer that I'm praying to God for you. Lord, I pray that all the children here will be loving and kind and obedient to their mums and dads. I pray they'll be kind and loving with their brothers and sisters. I pray that they will learn to share, be nice to each other, and make their home a happy home. Lord, it was you that created the man and the woman to become husband and wife for the raising up of the next generation. And Lord, since it is your will, we know it is in your will that you bless each and every home represented here and each and every family. So Lord, I pray on this special weekend, on this holiday weekend, that these families here present will enjoy a sweet time together, a holy time together, a joyful time together of peace and love and goodness. And Lord, we extend that prayer to the rest of our congregational family. Lord, we pray that all of us too will be loving and kind and generous with each other. For if we cannot love one another, then how can we love the world around us? The marker you gave us in Scripture, Lord, was that the world would know you are my disciples because you love one another. So let us love one another and demonstrate to God and to the world around us that we are disciples of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, hear our prayer this morning, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning once again. It's a wonderful time to be here in church, just taking an hour out of our lives and out of our holiday weekend just to be together to worship God. Let me just take care of that that howl. Is that different? Okay. The sound guy took a weekend off. How dare he? Okay, Psalm 119. What do you know about Psalm 100? Without looking at your Bibles, what do you know about Psalm 119? It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's very good, very good. Gold star for Jeff, top of the class. What else do you know about it? What else do you know about Psalm 119? It's all about... Mm-hmm. Okay, that's three gold stars for Jeff. That's it. You're cut off now, okay? You're cut off for the rest of the message. Okay. It's alphabetical. That's right. It's 176 verses long, okay? And it's written in 22 stanzas, each stanza representing the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's called an acrostic. Each line of each stanza begins with that letter of the Greek, of the Hebrew alphabet. So the first eight verses, as we would call them verses, begins with Aleph, which is A, and the second eight verses begin with Bet, which is B, and Dilith, Gimel, and I won't go on, because I can't. But it follows each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It has 22 stanzas, one for each of the letters. Each line in each stanza begins with the same letter. There are eight lines in each stanza, and so it goes on. It's a very well-constructed passage of Scripture, and it's a very deliberate, because it's all about God's Word, God's laws, God's decrees. In fact, it uses eight different Hebrew words for what God has said, basically, what God has said. And it uses the word Torah for law. It uses mispem for laws. So there's law, which is the rules of life. And then there's laws, which were the laws to govern the civil nation of Israel. And it uses a word for precepts, statutes, commands, word, promises, and decrees. Some translators also use words like judgments and testimonies. But each line, each verse throughout those 174 verses talks about God's law except for four verses. What are those four verses? That's too much, right?
There are only four verses in the whole 176 that are not about God's law. It doesn't use any of those eight words. And just, this is for your homework. It's 3, 7, 37, 90, and 122. It's okay. The rest of the whole of the psalm is about God's law and God's word. And does at some point seem to be very repetitious, because the psalmist is pouring out in this very constructed psalm, this song of praise. He's pouring out to God how he loves his law, how he wants to follow his law. And after you've read through like 8, 10, maybe 20 verses, you're saying, yeah, I get it, I get it, I get it already. But he goes on and on, all the way through the Hebrew alphabet, outlining God's law, his love for God's law, and how he wants to follow it. So I just picked one of the stanzas today, which is the second one. It's verses 9 to 16. So can I ask someone to read Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16? And then we'll go through it each one time. Rishnika, in your best auditorium voice now. Slow down, slow down. Just slow down so we can all hear it, okay? Thank you, Rishnika. Thank you. So throughout that passage, I've got the NIV here in front of me. You're reading from a different translation, slightly different, okay? Do you know what yours was? Do you know what translation that is? The what? American Standard Version. Okay, we'll accept that. Okay, we're not going to get into a debate, okay? So throughout that passage, there's the use of the word, commands, word, decrees, laws, statutes, precepts, and word again. So again, every stanza, every verse, your word, your word, your word, your laws, your precepts, your decrees. The psalmist is pouring out this sense of desiring to understand God's law. And so we start at verse 9. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. So indeed, how can a young man or a young woman or an older man or an older woman keep their way pure? And the sense of purity, yes, there's a moral sense of purity there, but there's also a sense of purity in terms of clearly knowing God's way. Clarity in sense of purity, of knowing this is the right way and this is what I'm going to follow it. How can I be sure to keep my way straight, clear, and pure, unadulterated, unwavering, and direct the way God wants me to live? He asks the question and he gives the answer. The answer is by living according to your word. So he asks the question of God, God, how can I live a right life? How can I live a right life? And he gives the answer right back at you, by living according to God's word. See, God's word is not a list of suggestions. It's not a book of, here's a good idea. Why don't you guys try this? And if that doesn't work, why don't you guys try that? It doesn't. Does it read like that at all, Gary? No, it doesn't read like that at all. This is very clear, God's word. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by men over a period of 1400 years. All right, and it's not a suggestion book. It's not a guidebook. I hesitate to say a rule book, but God's word, your God's rule for life, for you and for me, and for all people, is right there if we'd only care to open it and explore it. We will find the answers to all of life's challenges and life's issues. Okay, so it's right there. Verse 10. George, you got it? I will seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. When you're seeking something, you need a guidebook to get you there, don't you? Okay, lots of books out there. The shelves are in the bookstores and the book suppliers for the last couple of decades have been putting out all kinds of self-help books. Self-help book for this, for that, for the other. All kinds of authors are out there trying to help you deal with this issue in your life, help you deal with that issue in your life. While all the while, most North American homes have on their shelf the book that will help them understand why their lives are not being run the way they should be. Because they haven't opened that book to show them how God has designed you and me to live our lives properly, and the instructions are right there. The guides are right there. It's right there. I seek you with all my heart. Well, if you're seeking something, you've got to have a map. You've got to have a guidebook. You've got to know the direction to go in. Now, I've got a couple of maps here, so I'm going to pose a question. Can I have a couple of the kids come forward? I want you to take that book, just keep it that way, there, and give it to Mr. Stevens. Go around and sit with Mr. Stevens. I'm going to ask you a question. Go, you know Mr. Stevens sitting there? Put your hand up, Bill. Okay. Here we go. This side, Dorothy. Deborah. Go and sit there with Bill and Sheila, and I ask them to show you, use that book. There we go. Ask them to use that book to show you how to get from Toronto or from Newmarket to Ottawa. And Jacob, go and sit with Gary here and ask him to show you that book, how to get from Newmarket to Montreal using that book. And Liam, you go and sit with Go and sit with Karen Obercuro, Mrs. Obercuro there, and ask her to use that map to show you how to get from Newmarket to Ottawa. You guys take a seat. I'm going to ask you to do something in a minute, okay? Okay? What's the problem, Gary? Why can't you use that map to help Jacob get from Newmarket to Ottawa? What's wrong with it?
Canada.
What is it?
Great Britain and Ireland.
And it doesn't help, does it?
Not really.
No.
It's Lancashire?
No, it's not going to help, is it? Wrong book, right?
Wrong map.
Okay, Jacob, you're out of luck. using Gary and his book as a guide, you're going to get lost. Okay? Sorry.
Will anyway.
Sorry. Deborah, how are Mr. and Mrs. Stevens helping you? There's no Ottawa. Why is that?
It's Australia.
It's the wrong book. Deborah, they're no help to you. That book's no help to you, is it? No, it's just not going to get you. What about Karen? How are you doing there? New market to Ottawa. How's that map helping? Why is that? It's a map of Jerusalem. It's no help at all, is it? No help at all. Okay. Get the point, right? Lots of books out there, lots of maps out there, lots of speakers out there, okay? There's lots and lots of people out there, lots of people offering you and me wisdom and guidance of how to find my way through life. But verse 10 here says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Okay? Where will we find God's commands so we will not stray? In a self-help book? Or in God's Word? In God's Word. We have to be in God's Word. Verse 11. Okay. Very important verse. 119 verse 11. I've hidden your word in my heart. The heart being represented certainly scripturally, the center of your being. The thing that really motivates you and guides you and directs you. And when we hide God's word in our heart, we instinctively, if I could use that word, we would naturally want to follow his way. Okay? Now this is not just memorization. We're going to get that into a couple of verses later. But it's that idea of completely being immersed in God's word on a regular, frequent, regular, day-to-day basis, consuming it like food, and that will guide and direct our thoughts, our beings, our attitudes, our morals, and our priorities, just because it's hidden in our heart. And that way we will not sin. That's the way the psalmist says, I've hidden it in my heart so I might not sin against you. In other words, when a situation comes up, I know the right thing to do. I don't have to look it up because it's already part of me. I've hidden your word in my heart. And how can we hide God's word in our heart?
Studying
it. Thank you. Study it. Read it. Take time out to sit down with the book and read through it. Study passages. Talk to people. Gather in a group like we do Sunday morning, Wednesday evening. Gather in a group. Study the word together. Someone reads Proverbs 23, 19. Proverbs 23, 19. Go ahead, Shirley.
Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path.
Yeah. And how does that son keep his path, his heart, on the right path? By hiding God's word in his heart. Your heart will be on the right path if you are immersed in God's word on a regular basis, on a daily basis, consuming his word, listening to him speak to you, through his written word, which he has preserved now for thousands of years. Thousands of years. Other authors have come and gone, other books have come and gone, but God's word remains as the source of life. Verse 12 says, praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. How can you learn something? How can we ask someone to teach us something if they won't sit down and listen? You know, those of us with children, we try to help them with their homework. But if they won't sit down with you, we can't teach them. Okay? If your cry is, teach me your decrees, teach me what is right, you've got to sit down with God and his word and learn it. There's no simple way around. We do not pick up the Christian life. We do not pick up the godly life through osmosis. One of my favorite expressions to use is, God has no grandchildren. You are not a child of God because your parents were a child of God. Your children will not become children of God because you are. Each generation has to learn it from themselves, and that's why it's a responsibility of every parent and grandparent to pass on God's law, God's rules, God's word to the next generation. To take active time throughout the week to be speaking God's word into the life of your children. That's why you need to hide it in your heart. And that's why verse 13 is so important. Someone read verse 13. Psalm 119, verse 13.
With my lips I have declared all thy judgments of your mouth.
Okay. That's the ability to know a scripture verse at the right moment. Okay, and you've heard it, each of you has one or two verses that you know, that you're familiar with, and at the right moment, at the right time, you're able to say, but doesn't Scripture say? Hasn't God already said? So when there's something going on at home or in your relationship, you're able to recount on your lips, bring to your lips, be able to voice God's word because you've studied it, because you've hidden it in your heart, because you're seeking God. and you're following his commands, and you've got the right book. You haven't got the wrong book in your hands. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. And that's why memorization is important. Yes, we hide it in our hearts, but we also memorize it in our heads to have the right word at the right time, the right word of God. It's not so much for quoting at other people, okay? It's more for quoting to yourself, for reminding yourself of the situation and the right word. Or when someone comes along and asks you, what do you think about such and such? You're able to recount on your lips what God has said about such and such. So it's no longer your opinion you're expressing, but God's word you're expressing. Centering yourself in God's word, it's hidden in your heart, you've memorized it, and you can now bring it to the right situation at the right time. Verse 14 says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. How many people are there, and I hope there are none here, who really think that winning the lottery is going to solve all their problems? That's why lotteries and casinos are abounding in our culture. Because people think that great riches will solve their problems. Well, it won't. It doesn't. He says, I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. In other words, for the psalmist, being rich is not important. Being in God's word is far more important. I rejoice in following your statutes. I'm glad, Lord, at the end of the day, I can say, Lord, I honored you today by following your word. And I was able to follow it because I'd memorized it and I have it in my heart and I studied it this morning. I started out the day studying your word. I carried that word through the day. At the end of the day, I rejoice that I was following your statutes. I was following your word all through the day. Verse 15. Verse 15. Are we going to sleep? Tim, verse 15.
I will meditate on the precepts and regard thy ways.
Right. Meditate. How many of us here really like and enjoy silence, solitude? We can't stand it. We've got to have noise. We've got to have activity. We've got to have something going on. A couple of hands went up there. Yeah. I'm one of those people who actually does crave silence and solitude. So God gave me 5 children. So, and 13 grandchildren. And it's like, when, Lord, when can I do it? So I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I have my silence and solitude. But it is one of those things you cannot meditate with earbuds in your ears, or the TV on, or having a conversation with someone else. Your meditation is your private, quiet, alone time, carved out in your calendar, saying, I'm going to get away and be alone with God, and I'm going to meditate on His Word. How many people find that really, really difficult to do? Yeah, it is. But here's the word. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Meditate and consider. Takes time. Takes alone time. Takes focused time. For each one of us, children as well, take time with your children's Bible. Sit down, read it, and ask God, say, what does this mean to me? I'm only 10 years old. I'm only 8 years old. What does this mean to me, God? Because God can speak to you as a child, as much as and easy as he can speak to any one of us who's an adult. Okay? I would encourage my parents, encourage your children, get into God's word. Meditate on what God is speaking to us and consider God's ways. Verse 16, the last verse says, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Again, verse after verse, stanza after stanza, your word, your laws, your precepts, your decrees, your judgments. The psalmist is lifting up God's word as the measure of his life. And it's no mistake that it's right there in the middle of the scripture. No mistake that it's the longest chapter in the whole Bible. Okay? This is important stuff. This is very important stuff for each one of us. Be in God's word all the time. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I know there are many of us here who would have to say that I'm either in a season or I have had a season of life where I have neglected God's word, where the habit drifted away. Life got too busy. My study Bible was left on the side. Something got put on top of it. Some more things got put on top of that. And before very long, I couldn't find my Bible. Won't ask for a show of hands, because it's probably everybody in this room, including myself, that we have at times neglected God's word. But it is life. We get to know God through studying his word. We get to live righteous and upright lives through studying God's word. Okay, 2 Samuel 22:31. Gary, would you get that? 2 Samuel 22:31. Mark, could you get Psalm 18:30? And Rhiannon, would you get Proverbs 30 verse 5? Second Samuel 22:31.
Ready.
Ready.
As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him.
Okay. Mark? Psalm 18? Yep.
As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him.
Good. And Proverbs 35? Sorry?
Okay. He is a shield
for those who take refuge in him. Okay. Thank you. Common word in all three verses. Gary's translation is a little bit different. He used the word proven, but the word flawless is there. The word of God is flawless. Okay? You can listen to a whole bunch of other speakers and talkers and books and everything, and they might lead you astray. I'm going to give the kids an example of this. Mark, which way is north from here? Over there? Okay. Tim, which way is north from here? Kids, are you watching? Kids, are you watching these guys? Mark, which way did you say? Over there? Somewhere over there? Tim? Tim's pointing to the back. Paul, where's north from here? Over there somewhere? Chris, where's north from here? Over that side. Who are you going to believe? Thomas. Mark says it's over there. Tim says it's over there. Paul says it's at the back there. Chris says it's over the other side. Who are you going to believe? You think it's over there. So we've got to write, and Gary says it's over there. Yeah. Okay, who are you going to believe? Don't believe any of them. Wise guy. Wise kid. Wise kid. Don't believe any of them. What do you use to decide which way is north? Liam, what would you use to decide which way is north? A compass. Come here, Liam. Come here, Liam. So Liam has now consulted the compass, and Liam will tell you which way is north.
That way.
That way. Okay. The truth was there in the compass. Thank you, Liam. Give Liam a round of applause. Well done, Liam. Liam went to the source of finding out which way is north. You guys were leading Liam and the rest of us astray. Okay. I set them up. But you can listen to other people, you can read other books, But there's one book that sets the compass. There's one book that's got the right map. Okay? There's only one way, and that's for each one of us to be in God's Word, because God's Word is flawless and will not lead you astray, but you have to be in it each and every day. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the miracle of your Word and the outstanding miracle of preserving it for thousands of years. It's come under so much attack all the time, and yet it survives because it is your Word. Lord, we repent that there have been times when we've neglected your Word. And Lord, we pray that you will give us that extra special courage to carve out time in our day to sit quietly alone and open your book and meditate on your Word. Commit it to our hearts, commit it to our memory, and commit our life to following your Word each and every day of our lives. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, fill and inspire everyone here to become now students of your Word, students of Scripture, that our lives will be different, that your light will shine out from each one of us, to our family, to our friends, to our community, to our neighborhood. Lord, hear our prayer, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In order for us to be standing on the promises of God, we need to know what they are, and we find them in His Word. Let us renew our commitment to be people of God's Word, to set aside time each and every day of our lives to meditate, to read and study and meditate on His Word, commit it to our hearts, and live lives guided by His Word. Go in peace today. Know that God loves you. He loves you. And He wants you to have a full, holy life in Him. Go in peace. Amen.